Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump took to Twitter today to ask what? They don't get sarcasm? This was after he was roundly criticized for the false claim that President Obama founded ISIS. Also this week, Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton had to deal with more questions about a cozy relationship between her family foundation and her State Department. Oh, and there were two big economic speeches. Our jingle guys listened. Did anyone else? Let's get to it.
Here and now, 2016.
Those guys just love watching economic speeches. It's just all they do. Joining us today is ABC's Rick Klein. Hi, Rick.
I love those speeches, too.
I do, too. And CNN's Juana Summers. Hi, Juana.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
So I want to start with some of the poll numbers that just came out today from the Wall Street Journal, NBC, Marist, that show Hillary Clinton's lead over Trump increasing in key battleground states. She's leading by now 14 points, according to this poll, in Colorado, 13 in Virginia, 9 in North Carolina. She's also leading in Florida. Rick, to you, she's not just leading in these battleground states post-convention, post the cons and everything else. She's also starting to pull in some red states like Georgia and Arizona into the battleground column.
And Utah as well. And what's going on now is a collapse in the electoral coalition for Donald Trump. It doesn't mean he can't turn it around, but this is prompting something of a freakout in Republican circles. They're watching the map expand in exactly the wrong direction. Keep in mind, all that Hillary Clinton needs to do is hold the Obama states. It's Donald Trump that needs to be on offense. So the fact that we're sitting here a couple weeks after the conventions and with Labor Day looming and the map is expanding in favor of the Democrats, troublesome to say the least. And it does track the national numbers, where we've seen Donald Trump's support top off and begin to drop off, especially in these critical battlegrounds.
Yeah, but Juana Summers, I mean, Ricky used the word collapse. Even the DNC is saying, wait, don't get complacent, because Donald Trump has a way of bouncing back and he has followers who are very angry.
That's absolutely correct, Robin. I think that is that Democrats are probably wanting to make sure that there's a wait and see moment, because we have seen these poll numbers be so fluctual. It's also very, I mean, we have what, roughly maybe 90, 80 days until the election. So
87
quite a lot
to
of
be exact,
for, things to change up here in Donald Trump's favor.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, let's take a look at Donald Trump's claims this week. Let's review them, shall we? At a rally in Florida on Wednesday, he called President Obama the founder of ISIS.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton. Co-founder, crooked Hillary.
Well, then yesterday, conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt tried to give Trump an out. Let's listen.
I know what you meant. You meant that he created the vacuum, he lost the peace.
No, I meant he's the founder of ISIS. I do. He's the most valuable player. I give him the most valuable player award. I give her, too, by the way.
But he's not sympathetic to them. He hates them. He's trying to kill them.
He was the founder.
Well, this morning, Trump tried to walk that back. He tweeted, ratings challenged CNN, which took this up this morning, reports so seriously that I call President Obama and Clinton the founder of ISIS. They don't get sarcasm. Rick, start with you. Last night, The Daily Show's Trevor Noah said he could picture ISIS fighters turning to their leader and saying, hey, you said you founded ISIS. And so, you know, people are taking a comical look at this. But do these, you know, making claims, walking back, do they have a serious impact?
Well, there's a pattern here. It's not just once. It's happened twice just this week with the Second Amendment comments as well. It's happened on Russian hacking. It's happened time and again. You see, he says something outrageous and then his aides kind of clarify it, and then they blame the press. I saw Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut today. What I'm looking for, a president who has a good sense of humor about ISIS, assassinations, and Russian cyber warfare. These aren't comical matters, and it does have a cumulative impact. And again, you don't take any of these in a vacuum. Everyone has flubs, everyone has missteps, but I mean, you just played it out. It's hard to argue that when you're given the opportunity to walk something back and you don't, come back the next day and say the media is blowing it out of proportion and he's being sarcastic. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
I want to ask about the substance this week. Let's move on from the scandal to the substance. There were two economic speeches. We brought both of them to listeners live. And I want to start here with Donald Trump speaking about the economy in Detroit on Tuesday.
If sent to the Oval Office, Hillary Clinton will enact the TPP as sure as you're sitting there. Her donors will make sure of it.
a vote for Hillary Clinton is a vote for TPP, and it's also a vote for NAFTA.
And then in her speech in Michigan yesterday, Hillary Clinton said she's against the TPP.
I will stop any trade deal that kills jobs or holds down wages, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I oppose it now, I'll oppose it after the election, and I'll oppose it as president.
Juana Summers, first of all, how big of a deal is trade going to be in this campaign and in this election? And secondly, do people believe Hillary Clinton when she says that she's going to oppose TPP since she was originally for it and President Obama is also for it?
Right. Trade is going to be a huge issue in this election, particularly in states like Michigan, where both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton gave those respective speeches we just heard. Hillary Clinton in particular spoke in the county that literally coined the term Reagan Democrats. And those are the kind of voters that Trump hopes he can flip to his side because he's focused on things like trade, like making an enemy out of China, and that Hillary Clinton's hoping she can keep to her side. As for the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, or TPP, that you mentioned, I do think there is a bit of an authenticity question here, particularly when you're talking about a candidate. And this is true a little bit of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. They both have deep unfavorables. Hillary Clinton has had a low percentage of voters who say they view her as honest and trustworthy. And in the past, this is something that she's kind of changed her mind on, something that Bernie Sanders pointed out during the primary. So I think this is certainly a vulnerable position for her. And I think that's why you heard her say strongly and repeatedly that she opposes TPP now. She will continue to oppose it, and she will oppose it in the White House. So really tripling down on this position in that speech.
Would you mention the trustworthy issue? And this week, some old State Department emails were released. They show the Clinton Family Foundation making requests of State Department aides, things like, can you hook up this donor with this diplomat? Now, Clinton's detractors, Rick, already think that she and Bill Clinton don't play by the rules. You know, Trump calls Hillary Clinton crooked. But, you know, do these things matter outside those really hard and fast faithful who already have their belief about Hillary Clinton?
We hear about campaigns to the bottom, but this campaign, more than anything else, is going to be an anti-campaign on both sides. And the way that it's going to be waged is to try to drive up the negatives and drive up your own turnout that way. So that's where this matters, is that it just adds up to a sense of frustration, not just around the Clintons, but around the whole political establishment. The system is rigged. You can't read these emails and not feel a little bit icky, even if you're a Clinton supporter, about the intermingling of private and public business at the State Department and the Clinton Foundation. And that, I think, on balance, is helpful to Donald Trump and is helpful to him because he makes an argument that it's time for the radical change. This is the problem with insiders. This is what the political insider class does when they have power. So, again, you're not going to change perceptions around so many people and suddenly turn around the vast majority of the public that doesn't like or trust Hillary Clinton, but you can cake in perceptions and maybe drive up turnout.
Well, you know, you mentioned the system is rigged phrase, which Donald Trump has been using. I want to ask you both, start with you, Juana. There's been a lot of speculation that Donald Trump is looking for an exit. That he is saying things like the system is rigged so that if he loses, there's that, but that gins up his following to, you know, feel that it was rigged. Or if he wants to step out because he feels it's rigged. And what are you hearing?
So I think it was really interesting and very telling what we heard from Trump speaking to CNBC this week. He said, actually, you know, if things don't go his way, he's going to take a long vacation. And a nominee of a major party kind of suggesting at this state in the race that he might well lose is kind of unprecedented. What we're hearing at CNN from Trump advisors is that while there are certainly some conversations as to what's next, they're not very grounded. They're not very serious. The RNC is not actively making preparations right now for Trump to potentially step out of the race. But I do think there's some growing concern among these down ballot races in battleground states like the ones we talked about earlier, that Trump's poor performance at the top of the Senate could possibly make control of the Senate at risk.
Rick, are you hearing anything there? And also, we're talking about Trump and Clinton, but Johnson is coming up in the polls and Stein is coming up a little bit as well.
Yeah, and these things are all connected. And it's as you start to see some Senate races and House races come onto the board and the drag effect that it looks like Trump may have across the ticket in battleground states, that's when you see more Republicans come out and put more distance between themselves. And I agree. I think typically with third party candidates, we tend to pay less attention as an election gets nearer because the choices are clarified. I think in this case, and we have a new independent candidate just on the board from the Republican side, the conservative side coming in this week, I think that these guys will become more relevant. relevant because people are clearly disaffected and disenchanted with the choices.
Well, I think if we have more topical speeches like they've given, I mean, people can look and see. One person wants to dismantle, you know, take away regulations, things like the EPA's water programs. Another wants to, you know, build infrastructure. I mean, there is a choice. There are things to listen to and talk about.
Well, and in fairness, in this case, they both are proposing big infrastructure programs.
Right.
In fact, Donald Trump has said that his is like double Hillary's.
Huge.
I don't know how – it's huge.
Bigler.
Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, and Juana Summers at CNN, politics editor. Thanks so much to both of you.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks.